Hello.
Well, I can't see you. Hello, how are we tonight?
All right.
Is everybody alive?
Amen.
All right. I would want you to turn this evening to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'd like to thank my brother Jim Gunn for that very wonderful introduction. The check is in the mail, brother Jim. I, as Jim said, was born in Northern Ireland. My wife Gillian is from Southern Ireland, from Dublin. But invariably, and I think the first time I preached for Jim, I said this. Invariably, after I preach and get through, some dear soul, some dear saint of God will come up to me and say, "And what part of Scotland is it you're from?" So let's clear that up. I'm from Ireland. I know I don't have a trace of an accent, and you need me to tell you that I'm from Ireland. By the way, you know there's the Irish, and there's the English, and there's the Scottish people, and there's the Welsh. Do you know, you ever hear anybody ever tell you about their treatment of the gospel, why they love the gospel?
Well, I tell you why, since you asked.
The English love the gospel because it gives them something to think about. Now, we Irish love the gospel because it gives us something to fight about. And the Welshman, he loves the gospel because it gives him something to sing about. But the Scotsman loves the gospel because it gives him something for free. Anybody here?
I do.
I'm Scottish.
You're free. Oh yeah, I need to make a commercial. Before we go into the ministry of the word, look at this. Safe at last. This will make your toes open and shut with a bang. I tell you, this thing is, the Lord has used this tremendously throughout the country. And we get testimonies all the time about people listening to this, and they just are able to unwind in the evening because it's the Word of God. It's just the Word of God, and it's got beautiful music in the background. And put this out. It helps to support our ministry. We're on radio in lots of different places. And for example, in Ireland, it costs us $500 a month just to be there on radio. Now, that's actually very inexpensive to reach 1 million people in Ireland. But still, for us, that's a lot of money. You know? So, if you make an investment in the gospel and in your own enjoyment by buying one of these, and they should cost $50 each, but they only are $10, then you'll be helping us keep preaching the gospel. We have them down at the back. And really are tremendous gifts to give to your neighbors. If you're witnessing to people, this is a great way of evangelizing, and it's just tremendous. So I leave that with you. Now, I think that you're at the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Normally I like to go through a passage of scripture, but tonight I'm going to do things slightly differently, and I'm going to just take one verse. We're going to look at one verse. Verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Now, we're not just going to take one verse, we're actually going to take a phrase out of one verse. And that phrase is, I am his. Now look, if I was to say to you, he is mine, and he is, he's mine. That's a good truth, isn't it? But when I read here, I am his, this is much more powerful. Much, much more powerful. I am his. This is what I want to speak to you tonight. fact, I want to give you a number of ways that the Bible tells me that I am His. So could we bow our hearts before the Lord in prayer? Father, Almighty God, we come to you in the matchless, precious, wonderful, delightful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in His name before your throne and ask you, Father, to shut us in with thyself this evening and work amongst us and walk amongst us by your Holy Spirit in the proclamation of thy word. Oh, Father, draw us to yourself. Draw us to the matchless Savior, our Redeemer. Let him be magnified in our midst and in our thinking. We would ask in his lovely name, for his sake. Amen. I am his. No ifs about this, no ands, no buts. It's not I hope I am his. I hope that somehow I belong to the Lord. By the way, I'm not going to speak. I like to speak to both believers and non-believers, but in particular, I'm going to speak to encourage the saints of God tonight. Now, don't get nervous if you're not a believer. I've got a few little things to say to you as well. But dear saint of God, we belong to the Lord in several different ways. Growing up in Ireland, not in my particular home, but a lot of the neighbors' homes, you'd always hear things like this. Well, nobody could know whether or not they're saved. Nobody could know whether or not they're going to go to heaven. You just live as best you can, and you hope for the best, and you do the best that you can. Well, that's silly. Scripture says, I'm his. We belong to him. Oh, what way do we belong to God? Well, it's very simple. The first way is this. I'm his. Because he made me.
Yeah.
That's simple, isn't it? John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Genesis 1:16, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And look, if you make a thing, it's yours. If you make it, it's yours. Brother McKee, does that mean you don't believe in the theory of evolution? Correct. Yes. Malcolm Muggins, we used to back in Ireland, well, this guy actually was an English intellectual. During the 1960s, he was known, during the 1950s and 60s, he was one of the great intellectuals in England, and he was a flaming atheist. Name of Malcolm Muggeridge. And he became a believer. And he, after he became a believer, he said this about evolution or evolution. He said, it's one of the stupidest theories in the Western life.
Amen.
It's stupid. Absolutely stupid. I remember reading about a student at college who listened to this fanatical rant by a professor all about evolution. And it inspired him to write a poem called The Amazing Professor. And he said it like this. Here was the first verse. He said, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Next I was a monkey in a coconut tree. But now I am a doctor with a PhD. Folks, let me tell you again what it says in the scripture. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
I'm his, because he made me. But you know what? Scripture tells me not why I'm his. I'm his because he bought me. Oh, isn't this so simple? This really is simple. By the way, I realize I need to. Next time, if I'm ever asked back here, I'll have to become more sharp in my theology listening to these young children.
Hey.
Whew. My, you are raising a generation here, folks. That is tremendous. That is wonderful. But I'm his. Listen, children. I'm his because he bought me. Not just he made me. I'm his because he bought me. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and your spirits, which are God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 to 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Redeemed. What does that mean? Redemption. What does it mean? It means to deliver by the paying of a price of purchase, and it means to be removed from future sale. And Jesus Christ has redeemed his people at the cross. When he poured out his blood, he was paying for us. He wasn't just dying there just because he had nothing better to do with himself. He had gone to the cross with a purpose. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if God was going to forgive sins, and if God was going to be merciful, God had to uphold his character. He's bound by his integrity. What do I mean by that? I mean God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And God couldn't just say, oh, I feel kind. I feel nicely and warmly disposed to you. I think I just brush your sin under the carpet. Oh, I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. Oh, it's such, I think you're lovely. Oh, goochie, 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 goochie. Oh, there you are, shaking your fists in defiance at me. Oh, there you are, cursing at me, goochie, goochie, goochie. God couldn't do like that. He wouldn't do like that. Because God is holy, and God hates sin, and God must punish sin.
Yay.
Yes, God is holy. But for him to forgive sins, he has to be just. I was emphasizing this morning. I'm going to say it again. Grace, and we love grace, but grace is righteous. God is righteously gracious. What do I mean by that? I mean God has gone to the cross in the person of his Son and has not just died for our sins, he's paid for them with his blood. He's purchased us with his blood. Oh, hallelujah. What a
Savior. Amen.
And he's removed us from sin. We'll never be sold again. So he's purchased us. I remember hearing the story of a little boy who made a boat. Maybe you know this story. Happened some years ago. This little boy had got a piece of wood, and he had become quite clever with a carving knife, and he carved this little boat, and he put a little sail on it and everything. Took it down to the river. And he put it in the river. But to his horror, there was a current that he wasn't expecting. And his little boat floated away. He chased down the riverbank trying to get his boat and trying to rescue his boat. But his boat was lost. Well, a few weeks later, his father said to him one Saturday, son, let's go to the next town over. And I've got a few errands to do. Would you like to come along? So he went along. And while his father was doing the errands, the little boy was looking around the shops, and there in this shop window, he saw his boat. It was his boat, his markings on everything. It was his boat. And so he went in, and he said to the man, can I have my boat back? He says, yeah, you can have your boat if you give me £5. Well, back then, that's a lot of money for a little boy. But he said, I made it. He says, yeah, but I have it. If you want it, pay for it. So the little boy learned his bondage. He goes, he talks to his father and says, do you have a spare £5? No, so they don't. But they formulated the plan, and the little boy went to work and did a lot of errands and chores and everything like that, and earned the money and went back to that shop and paid for his boat. And he walked out of that shop and he looked at the boat and he said, now you are twice mine. I made you, and I bought you.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord
has
done. He's made us. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he has poured out his precious blood at the cross. And you are bought with a price which is paid for your deliverance. You've been taken out of captivity, out of bondage. You have been paid for. for, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this truth will stabilize you. You're twices. If thou hast my discharge procured and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again from mine. But let me ask you, are you resting tonight in the redemption which is in Christ Jesus? Did you hear what I said where the redemption was? It is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is not in you. The redemption is not because you've experienced something. It is not because you prayed a prayer, a little magic formula. It's not because you said, oh, I pray, oh Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I don't want to be offensive. That prayer, however, is not in the Bible. Oh, the Apostle Peter, he gets up on the day of Pentecost and he preaches about Christ and he preaches about the cross and he preaches in the resurrection. And then they say, oh, what must we do to be saved, then, brethren? And Peter looks at him and says, oh, there's 3,000 of you. Here, pray this little prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Did I say something wrong there? I did. He didn't say that. Because it's not in the Bible. That prayer is not in the Bible. And so many folks are in the churches and saying, I'm saved because I prayed a little prayer. Is it all right to get excited? I'm Presbyterian. No, I'm not. Believe on the Lord, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Are you resting in the redemption which is in Christ Jesus? In Christ alone, your hope is found. There's no other hope. It's in Him and His accomplishments. It's in Him and His doing and in His dying that we are saved. Believe on that. Rest on Him. Oh, are you resting on Him this evening? Are you trusting in something else? But not only am I His because He made me, I'm His because He bought me. The Scripture tells me I'm His because He found me. Luke 15, verse 6. I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn, but if you want to, that's fine. But here's what it says. It says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is in the business of saving lost people. And you know something? Before you can be found, you must be lost. Christ died for the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. He finds lost people. One of the problems in this generation is I cannot find any lost people. Nobody's lost. And I mean, seriously, everybody thinks they're okay. You're talking, and we're not okay. But if I could ever find somebody who actually believed that they were a sinner, and a lost sinner, and ruined sinner, then I could give them the gospel. One of our great problems today is nobody seems to admit that they're sinners. Well, they say, yes, we're sinners in the general sense. But my dear friend, you are not a sinner in the general sense. All sin brings death. Ruined by sin. It's a wretched thing. And God hates sin and must bring His wrath against sin. Sin has ruined us. Now, when the Holy Spirit begins to operate and to move and to draw us, we see a conviction taking a hold, and we're convicted of being sinners because we rejected God's gift. That's the greatest sin. To reject the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope. That's man's terrible sin. Man has awful sins, but the worst sin is to reject God from heaven, who has come in the person of His Son and has died on the cross, and men will not go there. Men will not go to the cross because they think, oh, well, I'll be okay. No, you will not be okay. My friend, you'll not be okay unless the Lord Jesus. Put your trust in Him. I say, lost sinner.
Amen.
Oh, yes. When you say, I'm His because He found me. Surely I found Him. Oh, did I find Him or did He find me? Well, as some wag said, He kept on seeking me until I found Him. Oh, yeah. See, to us it seems like we find the Lord. But let's be honest, let's look back at this and say, we find nothing. We weren't even looking for the Lord. I have to laugh at these folks who give me, tell me, people, they say they're Christians, they say, oh yes, I sought for God for 4 to 5 years. I was seeking after God. That's not true. Oh yes, it's true. I sought after God. No, you didn't. Why do you say that? I say that because the Bible says that. It says there's none that seeketh after God. Oh yes, men may want a God to seek after, a God who suits them, a God that they can tailor make, and say, oh yes, I want a God who will cure my problems. He'll heal my sickness. God, He'll get me a better job. Yes, we all want that kind of God, but that's not God. And God will not come to us in any terms but His own terms.
Amen.
He sets it up for us to get saved. I remember, I was raised in this Christian home. And I believed it. I used to meet these missionaries from all over the world. And we always had evangelists living in our home. And I mean, I believed it all, but I didn't want it. I was on the run. And man, every time I was on the run, God was there. I was just going mad and I'd walk into a group of Christians holding open their meeting. How did they know I was going to be there at the same time? And they'd be giving me tracts. Do you remember that? Do you think back in the circumstances that tribute to the Lord, how He was orchestrating everything? I remember one time, have you ever heard of potgin? Potgin is an Irish drink. And you have it over here in a different form. It's called moonshine. That's before I was saved. I'm an idiot before I'm saved, okay? And my cousin and I heard that there was this moonshine, this potgin, that had arrived into the district. And boy, we get in the car off together. We've never had potgin before. Boy, we're going to have it. And we arrived at this guy's house. We had his house identified. I knocked on his door and he came to the door and we said, we're here to buy the potgin. He looked at us and says, listen, I'm a committed Christian. Who said that? See, God was seeking to save that which was lost. And that's the way He did it, to draw us to Himself. And listen, He finds us because He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to seek the last. He's come to seek the lost. He's come to seek the least of us. And we sing it, don't we? Amazing grace. Oh, it's righteous grace. It's amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. See, that's redemptive language there. You don't get saved unless you're lost. And He says, I once was lost, but now I was blind, but now I see. You know, that is the most sung and most disbelieved song in America. I sat at churches like this, there's almost nobody that believes that. I once was lost, but now I'm found. This is grace. And it's amazing grace. Oh, yes. And look, God does not owe you anything. And He doesn't owe me anything. So, all my notes are something brought. You've established at the start that we're His because He made us. Yes, this is true. But He didn't have to come and die. He didn't. There was no obligation on Him to come and die. He didn't have to come and rescue us. And I've heard so many times preachers saying, oh, if you were the only person ever born, He would have had to come for you. Oh, no, He wouldn't have had to come for you. But that he has come to redeem is grace. Sin had ruined us, I'm going to say it again, ruined by sin. But there he is, he went to the cross, there he is. The God-man, he who knew no sin, there he goes to the cross. Bearing shame and scoffing, rude, condemned, and in my place he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There he is on the cross, hanging between heaven and earth, like a disinherited son. There he is, taking the wrath that should have come to you and come to me, taking it upon himself. Why did he do that? Because that's what he said he would do. He chose to do that. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. They reckon if they were to melt us down and sell us, there's enough minerals and whatever in us to be valued at about $20 to $30. Do you know what we are, folks? Glorified mud balls. Yeah. You're going to go back to dust. You're made out of dust. From dust you came, from dust you're going to return. Like the wee fella said to his mother, he looked onto the bed and he said, "Mother, is it true that we came from dust and that we're going to go back to dust?" She said, "Yes." "Well," he said, "there's somebody under here who's either coming or going. I don't know which." But folks, can you see the amazement? Or the amazing nature of this grace? What are we? On our best efforts, what are we? You want to know what man is like? See how he treated the Savior. Do you want to know what man is like? He's stupid. Look at him. There he is, nailing up a cross. Some people actually did this. Made a cross. Saw the wound. Hammered it together. Making a cross for their God. How stupid. How dumb is that? But that's what we did on our best day. We crucified him. He's come to rescue and to save. And we crucified him. Away with him. We'll not have that man to rule over us. That's man for you. But God looks from heaven and sees what man is in the person of Jesus. And he's perfect. And he's wonderful. And listen, if you will trust in Jesus as your Savior, he will declare you not guilty and perfect and righteous. And you will receive that which has been accomplished at Calvary. He's your only hope. If you're resting in yourself and trusting in yourself and thinking that by being good and by being nice, well, cut it with God. You're wrong. It's only in Christ. It's in Christ alone that we have redemption. So I'm his because he made me. I'm his because he bought me. I'm his because he found me. The fourth way I'm his is this. I'm his because the Father gave me to him as a gift. John 17, verse 6, I'll read it for you. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me." John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. John 17, he's talking directly to heaven. He says, "I've manifested thy name." That means thy character. See, if you want to know what the character of God is like, you've got to go to Jesus. He is the exegesis of God. Mm-hmm. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him, exegeted him. "I've manifested thy name, thy character, thy identity. To those which thou hast given me." And you gave them out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. Then in verse 9 of the same chapter, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. I am his. Folks, I'm his because he made me. I'm his because he bought me. I'm his because he found me. I'm his because I've been given to him by the Father. You know, to read that I am his is much better than he is mine. Why is it much better? Well, because if he is mine, I have the habit of losing things that are mine. Yeah, so I'd rather be his. Because he's not going to lose anything. He's been given a gift of me. Of you, dear believer, dear saint of God. Do you think he's careless with his gifts that the Father's given him? Absolutely not. He loses nothing. John 17:12. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Oh, he's a good God, isn't he? He's a wonderful Savior. None of them's lost. Father, I'm not going to lose any gift that you give to me. You know, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Now, that word is an interesting word. It's kalos in the Greek. You could say it means winsome, but it's got a lot more meaning than that. But when he's the good shepherd, I'm going to make an application out of that. I'm going to say, he's not a careless shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not a lousy shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's the shepherd who keeps his sheep. He's the shepherd who's never lost the sheep. He's the lawyer who's never lost the case. He's the conqueror who's never lost the battle. And if you say, oh yeah, but I can be his today, and then I can be lost, you're saying, he's the bad shepherd. Look, if it was left to Miles McKee, I'll get lost just like that. I'm a candidate for being lost, but he's the shepherd. And I'm his. Because I've been given to him. Oh yes. So don't bring an indictment. Against his abilities as a shepherd. His honor is engaged to keep the meanest of his sheep. And all that the Heavenly Father give, his hands securely keep by his. Because I've been given to him. But not only that. You are his, I'm his, we are his people are his because he made it. Because he's bought us. Because he's found us. Because we've been given to him. But we are his also because he has conquered us. His grace came to you and to me in power. What examples do we have of that? Well, Paul on the Damascus Road. Oh, Paul, says the Lord, remember. Remember Paul. This is one of the greatest evidence that Jesus is alive. Paul is the Christian hater. He's going to kill the Christians. And the Lord appears to him and apprehends him there in the Damascus Road. And he says, oh, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Well, what's that mean? Well, when they were plowing, the plow was in harness and they had this ox goad. And it would prick the ox and the ox would kick. But it was a futile exercise. It was harnessed. Oh, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Paul! I have set my affection, my love upon you before you ever were born. And now is the time I'm going to apprehend you. No point in kicking against it. And you know what Paul was able to say thereafter? He said, I am the prisoner of the Lord. Yeah. And he was glad to be so. What about Lydia? Who, remember the businesswoman in Ephesus? No, well, that wasn't Ephesus. Where is it? Philippians. Philippia. Philippi. That's the words. Whose heart the Lord opened. Acts 16:14. We were conquered. That's how it happened to us. We were conquered. He conquered us. Conquering grace came and saved us and redeemed us. I remember reading, and probably you know this story, but an officer in the American Army, this is during the War of Independence against the English. Some of you are here from England. This guy was God. He was an officer and he was shot as a spy. American officer, and he searched his belongings afterwards, and in his coat pocket they find a poem that he had written for him. It said this: Hail, sovereign love which first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace, which gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran this sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran: Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, This mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel soon appeared and led me with a beaming face to Jesus as my hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, which must have sunk the world to hell, and bore it for a sinful race, and thus became their hiding place. Should sevenfold storms of thunder roll, and shake the globe from pole to pole, no thunderbolt shall dump my face, for Jesus is my hiding place.
Amen.
Oh, we are his because he's conquered us. You say, brother, I've not been conquered. Have you any advice? Yes, I did. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Say, Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, you don't owe me anything because I'm a vile sinner. Conquer me. Conquer me. Conquer me. Subdue me. Yes, I'm his by creation. His by purchase. And he found us. So we're his by finding. And we're his by a gift. We belong to Christ because of conquering. But there is a final way in which we can say we are his. We are his by betrothal and marriage. Revelation 19, verses 7 to 8, we're going to look into the future. It says, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Folks, we're already engaged to the Lord. If you're a believer tonight, you're engaged. Yes, you are. You're engaged. I have espoused you to one husband, says Paul to the Corinthians. This is in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, verse 2. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What? We're his. Because of betrothal. See, we get redeemed, we get bought, we get paid for. No, we're engaged. And so we're his in six different ways. And so we've got to learn to take a hold of these truths. Dear believer tonight, take a hold of these truths. And this will give you backbone. This will give you purpose. You don't have to go out in the midst of the world and feel like, oh, you have to be apologetic for being a Christian. No. God has set his love upon you from before the foundation of the world. God has made you. God has created you. He's come to this earth in the person of his Son, and he's lived for you, and he's died for you. Oh, yes, and then he's sought you, and he's brought you to himself. This is wonderful. Oh, beloved, this is totally wonderful. You're his. And then He is behind it all, behind the scenes, in the mysteries of God's eternal counsel. The Father gave you as a gift. You are a gift. You are a gift to Jesus. Oh, let me comfort you. Oh, this is amazing. This is an amazing redemption. You don't have to apologize for anything. You're a child of the King. Walk like it. Talk like it. Act like it. It's wonderful.
And we're betrothed to Him. Loved with an everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport of all divine, in a love that cannot cease. I am His, and He is mine. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue, Christ-like eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs overflowing, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know as I am known, I am His. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my fears, disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on His loving breast, oh, to lie forever here, doubt and fear and self-resign, while He whispers in my ear, I am His, He is mine. His forever, only His. Who the Lord and me shall part? With what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the longing heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee. Firstborn light and gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am His. He is mine. I am His because He made me. I am His because He bought me. I am His because He found me. I am His because I've been given to Him by the Father. I am His because He has conquered me. I am His because I am betrothed. Destined to be with Him for eternity. Let us bow our hearts and pray. Oh, Father, how little we appreciate at times of what You have done, what You have accomplished, what You have achieved, what You have purposed. At times we're so dull. We don't realize that You have undertaken everything. Lord, we get so busy with every other little thing other than You and Your purposes. Would You open our eyes and let us see how big all of this is and how big You are and how great Your salvation is. Father, would You grant that we would never be casual about Jesus. Lord, if there's those here this evening that are not saved, would You, in Your mercy, in Your grace, deal with them. Bring strong conviction of sin. The conviction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we just commit them to You. Follow them out of the meeting. If anybody leaves here unsaved, follow them home. We'd ask in Your mercy that You give them no rest and give them no peace. Open their eyes, Father, in Your mercy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, I'll give you
Amen. Amen.